Bidang Wahana dari Belanda. Constraining the dynamics of the drawing
Well, can you hear me? So my name is David Bernal, and my presentation is called Constraining the Tangential Velocities of Andromeda Satellites Using Nonlinear Optimization. So it's not random that Veronica stopped us before mine, because my work is actually a continuation of what she's doing. I'm working together with Veronica, obviously, and with Professor Jaime Correa from here, from the Universidad de los Andes. So I'll give a brief introduction, even briefer after Veronica's talk. The objectives that are going to be covered in this work, the methodology that we are proposing to solve this problem. I will go a little bit through the problem statement, since it's this nonlinear optimization problem statement is more usually used in engineering and so on. So this adaptation to this physics or astrophysics problem will be explained. Then I will show some results of the dynamic simulation of Andromeda satellites and the first results of the nonlinear optimization that we are solving here. So, well, as Veronica already told, Iwata proposed this presence of the vast thin plane of co-rotating dwarf galaxies orbiting the Andromeda galaxy. As she also said, these dynamical simulations have been made assuming information regarding the tangential velocity of these satellites, since, well, we can have like the line of sight velocity using Doppler effect, but, well, the tangential velocity, since they are so distant, it's actually not practical to have that sort of information. So we have this unavailable observational data for such magnitudes. So the proposal of this work was using nonlinear optimization. So what we were trying to do was proposing several even trajectories, initial conditions, final conditions, in order to solve this problem and figure out which were the tangential velocities that serve the best in order to satisfy the constraints of the system given an objective function. So, well, maybe this will shed light on the possible formation processes of this structure of gas. So, this image, you have already seen it, but again, this general objective is using this nonlinear optimization in order to get values for these tangential velocities. So, I guess I'll go through this. Basically, the objectives are simulating the dynamical behavior of this system afterwards, using those simulations to initialize an optimization problem and then find out these tangential velocities. And afterwards, well, the next step would be determining the feasibility of those initial conditions or trajectories based on the results of the numerical optimization. The whole information, as Veronica already mentioned, was given mainly by the Pan-Andromeda Archaeological Survey, PANDAS Survey, and other parameters used by other authors. We modeled this system using a gravitational potential, also having taken care of the Milky Way's potential and the Andromeda's potential. So these sort of equations are highly nonlinear, and therefore the application of large-scale nonlinear optimization algorithms was, well, it was just what we could use in order to solve this problem. So, what else did we use? We used a symplectic integrator in order to assure energy conservation, and simulations were given 5 gigabit years in the past and the future. So going back to this optimization problem statement, so we have this set of satellites. According to the other authors, there are several of these satellites which are in the plane and others that are not in the plane, but we will consider them all since we are using also satellite-satellite rotational interaction. Well, we will advance time in the future, in the past. One Jim Gears says here, sorry. Parameters and the scalars, these values, well, they do not change during the process of solving the optimization problem. So these are the ones that we obtain from the surveys, from the other authors. And variables here are not only the components of the tangential velocity of each one of the satellites, since we are also considering the dynamics of those satellites that are not included in the plane of galaxies, but the whole that are in the, let's call it, neighborhood of Andromeda. But changing these values would affect the position at every time of every satellite. Not only the position, but, well, the potential, the velocity. So this problem, as we first proposed it, it seemed easy to solve, but I will show you how it worked there. The constraints would be, well, all the equations defining the system, all the regarding the rotational potential that define the system, and the objective function, well, there was the problem. So what are the several trajectories or initial conditions or final conditions that we were going to propose? So initially, we try to solve, I would say, the most simple of them, which is all the different positions of every satellite. We will try to minimize that distance, like the Euclidean distance, from the beginning of the simulation. So basically that they were coming from a single point, more or less the center of mass, if we consider that all of the masses of the satellites would be the same. So that was the first objective function we would try to solve. So as Veronica already said, but again, her work, she assumed that all the satellites within the plane would be confined to it. So this assumption would reduce the degrees of freedom to one per satellite. You would just need to know a magnitude of the velocity, since the other components will be determined by this constraint. So she already showed us how from 15 of the proposed satellites that are in the plane, she could find 7 magnitudes of velocity that satisfied such that went all through a similar trajectory, which would mean that this wouldn't be something out of randomness here. So the first thing we did, was implementing these same velocities into our other problem. This other problem has all these algorithms, and well, we achieved to get the same results that she showed. Actually, I used the same pattern, so they're more or less the same graphs she just showed. The next step, we started solving the problem. So these results from Veronica showed, well, some cuts of the trajectories of the different satellites, and the optimization started leading to something else. We could find a solution different to the one that Veronica obtained that would minimize at least the distance from the initial point. But, well, analyzing these images is kind of hard, and it isn't as trivial from these images here. So, first of all, I would like to show you how big the problem becomes. We had, just for one cube year, using delta t of, 400 different spacings, we had 213,000 variables. So each time we had these 2,100 times 2,100 measures that we would like to solve in every single iteration. This would, well, in 2 pages. Afterwards, the results that we would obtain, we would like to compare them to results of the simulation of an illustrious simulation. We have data of positions and velocities of small galaxies orbiting, well, around large galaxies, and then sampling our results from the optimization from these populations. Well, it would at least give us a hint if we are going in the right direction or not. So the current scope and preliminary conclusions are: we already have an optimization problem. It's way larger than we expected. Trying to solve it, and right now I am using one of the clusters of the university, and it's really putting a challenge into it. There is already an implementation and simulation of this model in Python and GAMS, so just using more cores would help us to solve this problem. Well, future work would be, we would like to obtain the parameters. Right now it's running. We still don't know if they are logical, if they're not. That would be our first objective, and this future work would be solved in a matter of hours, actually. And then the next step, which is the one that requires the most imagination, I would say, are which would be the different objective functions we would like to propose. How can you imagine that these, since Veronica already showed us that it's very unlikely that it was randomly placed that way, so how can we propose they will behave, they came from, or they are gone? And well, finally analyze the stability and feasibility using this comparison with the illustrious simulation. So that's the presentation I had to show you today. Okay? Thank you very much for your time.
¿Preguntas?
Just a question on the simulations that you use to the cosmological models. The cosmological, why necessarily illustrious, or how do you choose the particular simulation, just because it has baryonic physics in it, or?
Would
you try more cosmological models,
sure,
to speak, yeah, to see how different they are, because those papers that were shown before, you know, they all claim that we can explain all this highly structured because we use these models and so on. Yes, how do you choose what cosmological simulation to use?
Sure. Well, since this is this junction work between Veronica and I and me, in the last presentation, she showed how the Millennium simulation and all these simulations that didn't took into account baryonic matter were failing to show these sort of structures. So, in order to just have like a reference frame to compare the results that we will obtain using the optimization, we would like to have at least a simulation results where there are feasible planes that exists there. So it's sort of I wouldn't like to say artificial, but at least that was the first simulation that showed that we could see in a computer the existence of these planes. So that's the reason why we chose to compare to those.
Yes, about the future stability studies of this algorithm. I think you should study the stability with respect to the parameters of the potential of the galaxy, because being so non-linear problem, maybe changing a bit the potential of the galaxy you are using Miyamoto Nagai, Hernquist, and including a halo, perhaps. The solution is way out of the solution you found with these parameters. So I think you should study the stability of the solution with respect to those parameters.
I will talk about some results that are not mine, they're actually from Veronica. But she showed how the non-isotropy of the halo would have a severe effect on the stability of an existing plane of galaxies. It would really affect how long we would stay this plane orbiting around this large galaxy. So indeed, you are completely right. The next step would be testing our solutions, well, the solution obtained by the optimization problem, with, fluctuations of the model that we are using for the potential, which is shown here. Yeah. Thank you very much for your attention. Oh, sorry.
Very ignorant question. Both Veronica and you said baryonic physics, so you are, for some reason, thinking that dark matter is not baryonic? Just, because you were saying, oh, now we are considering cosmological models that include baryonic physics, and what it's in that recipe compared to the other that only had dark matter.
Well, that'll be our question.
They caught my attention. I mean, I'm a very ignorant person in this subject, so probably I'm asking a very stupid question.
Effectively, dark matter is considered non-baryonic matter. It's a kind of exotic matter, not composed of protons and electrons. That's it.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. I won't go into the details.
In fact, the process is like star formation and all the gas on top of the dark matter which is gravity, they have the physics of the baryons, which is gas pretty much. So that's what
si no hay preguntas, agradecemos.